In 1883, a German scientist named Robert Koch was spending his spring in Alexandria, Egypt. Now, why would a German scientist be traveling as far as Egypt during this time? Well, that is because he was there to investigate yet another cholera outbreak in the region. After a great deal of research and deduction, Koch believed that a particular comma-shaped bacteria was responsible for cholera. Unfortunately, by the time Koch got to Alexandria, the outbreak had subsided. Thus, he then persuaded his team to travel with him to Calcutta, India, to further investigate and confirm his hypothesis. According to Nick Arnold, in Calcutta, Koch cut open 10 dead bodies and tested their diarrhea as well as the local water supply. To his delight, Koch found Vibrio cholerae in all of his samples, concluding that that was the organism responsible for causing cholera. In addition, on January 7, 1884, Koch announced that he had successfully isolated the bacterium in pure culture. He also concluded that cholera was not present in animals and was thus spread by human transmission only. In May of 1884, Koch and his colleagues returned to Berlin and became national heroes for their research in cholera. Slowly but surely, Koch's findings would convince Europe to abandon the miasma theory and embrace the germ theory instead. Unfortunately, this was still not enough to prevent subsequent cholera pandemics from occurring. Unfortunately, this was still not enough to prevent subsequent cholera pandemics from occurring. Welcome to A History of Pandemics. I'm Megan, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. On this podcast, we delve into some of history's most devastating epidemics and pandemics. This is part two of our two-part series on the seven cholera pandemics, which were one of the largest public health crises in the 19th and 20th centuries. There were three major pandemics within the span of 60 years, and the next four pandemics lasted from the late 19th century to the 1970s. On this episode, we will take a look at the last four cholera pandemics, as well as discuss the impact of these outbreaks. We will also shine a light on some scientists whose work with cholera is unfortunately largely forgotten. You can find all episodes of the podcast for free on Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts. To listen to A History of Pandemics, just click on the app and type in A History of Pandemics into the search bar. And now, back to the episode. The fourth cholera pandemic began in 1863 and ended in 1879. The outbreak, again, started in the Ganges River Delta and was carried by Indian pilgrims to Mecca. Because the migration of the pilgrims was westward, Eastern Asia was not as severely affected by this pandemic. Instead, cholera outbreaks appeared in the Middle East, Europe, Africa, and North America. Around 30,000 of the 90,000 Mecca pilgrims contracted cholera. In 1866, 90,000 people in Russia fell victim to the disease. That same year, cholera also spread in Central Europe due to the Austro-Prussian War. Around 165,000 casualties have been recorded from that particular transmission. Coming up, a little plot twist in the discovery of Vibrio cholerae. Although Robert Koch was the scientist that received international attention for isolating the cholera bacterium, he was not actually the first person to do so. Instead, that honor goes to Italian scientist Filippo Pacini. Pacini moved to Florence from Pistoia in the 1850s, during the time of the third cholera pandemic. He was particularly interested in the cholera outbreaks and worked at the University of Florence to conduct research. At the university, Pacini performed autopsies on cholera victims and studied their intestinal mucosa linings in great detail. After conducting some histological examinations, he correctly inferred that cholera caused a great deal of fluid and electrolyte loss. He then proposed a saline solution to be administered intravenously as a form of treatment. His ideas were quite accurate and found to be very effective later on. From 1865 to 1870, Pacini published his findings on cholera. Unfortunately, his work was largely ignored by the scientific community, mainly because the miasma theory continued to prevail amongst scientists and others. It is also unlikely that John Snow would have heard about Pacini's findings, since Italy was relatively far from England, and that Pacini's discovery was made only 4 years before Snow's early death. Pacini was only posthumously acknowledged for his contribution to bacteriology in the 1880s. Before that, there was a 30-year gap before Robert Koch isolated Vibrio cholerae in culture. As a consolation prize, in 1965, Vibrio cholerae was renamed to Vibrio cholerae Pacini to credit Pacini as the first person to discover the bacteria. The fifth cholera pandemic lasted from 1881 to 1896. This was the last serious cholera pandemic that affected Europe. Between 1893 to 1894, a whopping 200,000 people in Russia died. In the German city of Hamburg, 8,600 people died in 1892. American writer Mark Twain visited Hamburg during the cholera outbreak at the time. He notes that the poor were, quote, snatched from their homes to the pest houses, where a good many of them die unknown and are buried so, quote unquote. Twain's work titled 1891 to 1892 is a collection of his experience in Hamburg and criticizes the lack of cholera awareness worldwide. Cholera riots occurred in 1893 in Hamburg as well. According to a New York Times article dated October 10, 1893, quote, another fatal riot occurred last night in St. Pauli, a suburb of Hamburg, growing out of the attempts of the sanitary officers to enforce the regulations for the prevention of the spread of cholera. As in the previous riot, when a policeman was brutally kicked and stamped to death, the scene of last night's trouble was in one of the districts of the village inhabited entirely by the poor and ignorant classes, who seemed to have a horror of being compelled to observe cleanliness and the ordinary sanitary regulations, end quote. On a more positive note, Great Britain and North America were largely unaffected by the fifth cholera pandemic due to improved sanitation measures. During the fifth cholera pandemic, there was also a vaccine being developed for cholera by a scientist named Valdemar Hafkein. Hafkein was the first person to propose the idea of administering a cholera vaccine, but was met with a great deal of skepticism from the scientific community. This is because many people still did not believe in the germ theory, and also because Hafkein was of Jewish origin. To convince the public that a cholera vaccine was safe, Hafkein would publicly inject himself with the vaccine. He suffered a mild fever, but symptoms subsided after a couple of days. Hafkein also inoculated a few of his close friends and associates, but the popularity of the cholera vaccine failed to take off in Europe. Thus, Hafkein traveled to Calcutta in 1894, where the population was ravaged by the fifth cholera pandemic. This would provide him with a good sample size for vaccine testing. In India, Hafkein worked with a team of Indian doctors instead of the British, who did not support him. For months, Hafkine would spend every waking moment in the Calcutta slums vaccinating the poor. He was praised for being one of the first European doctors to bring this type of innovative medicine to India. Thanks to Hafkine's efforts, more and more people became convinced that the cholera vaccine was a suitable and safe treatment. In 1899, Hafkine opened up a laboratory in Parel, Mumbai, which was named the Hafkine Institute. It is now one of the oldest biomedical research institutes in India today. Even though Hafkine made such a huge advancement in the development of vaccination, unfortunately, his name is oddly unheard of today. I would highly suggest reading up articles about Waldemar Hafkine in your spare time, as this podcast is only the tip of the iceberg. The sixth cholera pandemic began in 1899 and ended in 1923. The transmission started due to a cholera outbreak at the Haridwar Kumbh Mela that year. In total, a whopping 800,000 people in India died due to the sixth cholera pandemic alone. Cholera then spread to Afghanistan, Persia, and southern Russia. As mentioned earlier, cases in Western Europe and North America dramatically decreased by this time. For example, the last significant cholera cases in the US were in 1911, when the Moltke steamship brought immigrants from Naples to New York City. Victims were quarantined at Swinburne Island, where 11 people died, including a health worker. By 1923, cholera had disappeared from most parts of the world, but it was still active in India and its surrounding regions. The seventh cholera pandemic lasted from 1961 to 1975. This is the only cholera pandemic to not originate in India. Instead, the pandemic began in Indonesia when outbreaks first occurred on the island of Java in May 1961. This cholera pandemic is also the only one of its kind to begin in the 20th century. Additionally, the seventh cholera pandemic was a result of the spread of the L. tor strain of Vibrio cholerae. There are two distinct periods of the seventh cholera pandemic. The first period lasted from 1961 to 1969. During this time, outbreaks reached Bangladesh in 1963, India in 1964, and the Soviet Union in 1966. That being said, due to Soviet censorship, the exact details of cholera cases in the Soviet Union were largely unknown at the time. The second period lasted from 1970 to 1975. In the 1970s, cholera outbreaks occurred in the South Pacific, Japan, North Africa, and Italy. In 1971, the total number of cholera cases was at 155,000. Luckily, governments were prepared to enact curative and preventative measures to reduce disease transmission. By 1980, the mortality rate of cholera dropped from 50% to 10%, which is a wild improvement. After the 1980s, there have been several cholera outbreaks here and there, but nothing too serious yet to cause another cholera pandemic. At least, that's what we are hoping. Nowadays, there are still around 100,000 deaths per year due to cholera, but the World Health Organization predicts that yearly cholera cases will go down by 90% by 2030. Next up, the impact of the seven cholera pandemics. There were many consequences of the cholera pandemics, both positive and negative. Firstly, due to the fact that all of the pandemics began in Asia and mostly India, there was a great deal of discrimination towards Asian people. This in part contributed to the blatantly wrong notion that people of Asian descent were dirty and unclean. Many Europeans also targeted Jewish people, as they believed Jewish people were responsible for the cholera outbreaks as well by poisoning wells. Of course, this never happened, but it was just another opportunity for Europeans to be xenophobic and anti-Semitic. The cholera pandemics also heavily disrupted the social and economic structure of governments. A lot of money was lost for many countries from a sharp decline in trading and tourism. Governments also had to pay a great deal for importing many resources from other countries. In addition, for poorer countries, nothing could be done to reduce cholera transmission due to poor sanitation facilities and a lack of treatment. However, there were some positive impacts to the pandemics as well. This was one of the first major disease outbreaks in which the environment played a huge factor in the reduction of transmission. People realized how important the cleanliness of their drinking water was, as well as improved sanitation practices. So, we can officially say goodbye to dumping fecal waste out of windows and into the street. Thank you for listening to A History of Pandemics. Next episode, we will dissect the Plague of Athens, another disease outbreak in antiquity. All episodes of A History of Pandemics are available for free on Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts. You can stream the podcast on your computer, phone, tablet, or any other electronic device wherever you are. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to follow the podcast on Spotify, as well as leave a review on Apple Podcasts. See you next time.